So, here we are with a lovely day and a lovely world. Sometimes we are so concerned about giving our children what we never had growing up, we neglect to give them what we did have growing up. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. So, think about these things once. It's quite important, really. Sometimes we are so concerned about giving our children what we never had growing up, we neglect to give them what we did have growing up. And of course, the thought that comes to my mind so often is this spanking that you sometimes get as you're growing up, because your parents mean it. And as the statement always was true, it hurt our parents' hand more than it hurt our bottom. It hurt our dignity to have to be told in such an unceremonious way that we were not behaving. You see, the time that we were growing up had a lot of nice values. You can say, well, there's many ages that have happened since then, but not really. The songs that they had in the 27, my era, were kind of neat. Here's one. Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh me, oh my, ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Now, that's a kind of a lovely rhyming little lyric that is kind of pleasant, but it reminds us, it's the gentleness. Today, on the platters, on the CDs and so forth, they have pictures of men and women doing interesting things to try to get your attention to buy the song. And the song is probably not much better than the picture, and the picture is not much better than the song. They lack quality. They lack values. They lack the things that we had when we were growing up. Now, we have with us Mr. Hess here, Mr. Douglas Hess, who is of a younger generation than we are, but he remembers the Leave It to Beaver show, and he remembers the Happy Days. He remembers the Andy Griffith show with Opie, and he remembers the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family and My Three Sons and Eight Is Enough. He remembers all of them, and he remembers the values that they were taught. And he remembers the gentleness of those values. And then, as we are in our today age, the parents could use that same value. Now, I'll ask you very definitely. These shows are from back in the 50s and 60s. Did Beaver get a spanking from his parents? In Happy Days, did they get spankings? They did some pretty silly things, too. In the Andy Griffith show, did Opie get a spanking from his father? Did the Brady Bunch, were they getting spankings? Were the Partridge Family and My Three Sons and Eight Is Enough? No. They were taught values. They were taught values, and they were taught to respect the values. And they were saying, we don't do that in this family. And go and explain yourself to your brother why you did what you did. Go and apologize to your brother or to your sister. And, you know, as you watch my three sons growing up, three fine gentlemen, oh, they did dumb stuff. But they were just normal, good dumb stuff. And they were respectful to their uncle. They were respectful to their father. They were respectful to everyone. And this respect was natural to them. It wasn't something that they were forced to do or that was not unnatural to them. They did it because it was the thing for them to do. It was the way for them to act, the way for them to live, the way for them to be. And they were wonderful. And everyone who watched the show had those values. Now, young people who grew up in that age, and that's you, and that's my son, and that's other people, They grew up with these values. It's true, the parents were getting on the market and mom and pop were both out there having jobs and not spending all the time they should at home with the kids, but they would watch these shows, these family sitcoms, and they were beautiful. Now, the family sitcoms today, they get a little wild, and kids talk a lot about sex, and kids talk a lot about other problems, but the thing is, as they are working in their life circumstances, they didn't have those experiences. They didn't need those experiences. They lived a normal, beautiful life without having all of these other things as sex and cigarettes and liquor and guns and other things. Why, when I was raised, to handle a gun was a very treasured thing. We only did it on the shooting range, or we only did it out in the field when we were hunting or something. And bow and arrows were my thing. And it was just great. But the way that my parents taught us, we sometimes didn't even think they were teaching us, you know, because they did it as an example, and we followed. And I probably will never know, nor will most of us ever know, how our parents steered us into relationships that were beneficial to us rather than relationships that were not. When there were children that we brought home and said, "This is my buddy Johnny," you know, and mother knew that Johnny had a lot of bad habits and was not about to change them because his parents did not train him to do that, she just steered us to be very busy with some other children. And we didn't have time for Johnny. Now, if we had had time for Johnny, we might have been a blessing to him in his life, but our parents were more concerned about us being a blessing to ourselves in our life than being a blessing to others. Because when we are a blessing to ourselves in our life, we're a blessing to others. If you train and raise a child well, that child will be a great benefit to the entire universe. But if you let that child be a training to somebody else and trying to help somebody else, the child oftentimes gets the feeling that what they're doing is a put-on, that the way they're learning these rules and so forth is not something that is really, really a good thing. It's just something that their parents want them to do. And what we want to train our children, at least what I train my children to be, is to have respect for themselves. As I told you, Mark's mother was in the hospital a lot while he was growing up, and I was working, and so I taught Mark to like himself and to enjoy his own company. He did not have to have a house full of kids when I wasn't around. He didn't have to do all these things. He could, because I had absolute confidence in him. And my confidence bore itself out over the years. But this is something that happens in families where the parents respect the children, where the parents respect themselves, and where the parents are living in this attitude of harmony and peace and right action toward everything that they're doing in their own world. I tell you, we have a golden retriever here who's as big as a boy, or a man almost. And he feels that the chairs at the table, one is there just for him. And he should be sitting up there being at eye level with everything that's going on. He just is of that nature. But of course, that's the way he's raised. He's raised to respect things. He's raised not to touch anything that he's not supposed to touch. He hasn't always learned it, but he's working on it. What the heck, he's 10 months old. But almost a year is full grown, you know. So sometimes we're so concerned about giving our children what we never had growing up, we neglect to give them what we did have growing up. And what we did have growing up were values. What we did have growing up were expectation of our parent that we be the finest and best person that we can be. It was respect for our elders, respect for each other. My sister, I had two sisters, twins, and they were a little older than I. And they were a pain in the neck because they were always trying to push me around. And so there were times when I felt like reaching out to them and give them a great big punch in the nose, you know. And one time I was reaching out to give them a punch in the nose, and my mother saw it, and she says, "We never strike a girl. You never touch a girl. You never hit a girl. You are a boy. You don't hit a girl. And I never forgot that. We were trained that. And all the kids in our neighborhood were trained that. It's a fantastic thing. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who is from Wisconsin, too. And he said he was from West Allis. And I said, well, I'm from Wauwatosa. He said, oh, the ritzy part of town. And yeah, it was a ritzy part of town. And there were people who were perfectly normal living there, as well as people who were perfectly normal living in the non-ritzy part of town. I married the girl from the non-ritzy part of town because she was pretty ritzy. But it just goes to show.
What does it mean, ritzy?
High class. Ellen was asking, what does ritzy mean? And ritzy means high class. And but I don't like to, you know, poop that, but it's there. So think about it. Now, what are these? We neglect giving them what we did have growing up. What did Sheriff Taylor say to his son, Opie, when his son did something that was not right? He says, Opie, what is it that you have just done? Da-da-da-da-da. Was that right? Well, is that what you know is what you should be doing? Well, then, Opie, what do you think you should do? Well, I shouldn't do it again, and I should apologize for having done it. Well, now, who do you apologize to? Well, first you apologize to yourself, because you went against what you know is right. Then you apologize to anyone who you touched in doing that. But, no, that's what you do. A neighbor, girl, Patsy Means, or Patsy Spring, rather. I had a couple of Patsies. Patsy Spring, her daddy was in the National Guard, and he had a big garage in the back of his house with a big upstairs over the garage. It had been a big barn, and he had all these wooden rifles up there. And the National Guard would meet at his house maybe two or three times a month and march with their rifles and act real soldiery, you know. This is before the Second World War. And so us kids would go over there and play because Patsy would invite us. And then one day, Patsy just felt largesse. And so she gave us each a rifle. You can take that home. You can help. We got lots of them. We got lots of them, you know. My daddy never uses all of them, you know. And so we took them home. And my dad saw it, and he says, where did you get that rifle? I said, Patsy gave it to me. He said, did Patsy have the right to do that? Oh, sure, it's her dad's. No. It's her dad's. It's not hers. Did her dad give you permission to take them? Well, no. I want you to go over to her house right now, go to the front door. He could see the front door from our house, kitty corner across the street. And you take the rifle back, and you say to Mr. Spring, Mr. Spring, I'm sorry, I stole this from your garage, but I didn't mean to do that. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And so I had to go over there, and I said, Mr. Spring, I stole this from your house. I didn't believe I stole it, you know, because it was given me. And Mr. Spring said, well, why did you do that? Well, I thought Patsy had the right to give it to me and you know, share them with me, and that's why I took it. Well, it's never right to take something that doesn't, it's never right to give something away that doesn't belong to you, and it's never right to take something when you know it doesn't belong to anyone to give to you. That I think you're a very fine boy for coming over and apologizing, and you're still good in my book, you know, it said something like that, you know. And so I went back home with my chest out, and my dad said, what do you say? So I told him, and he says, now, what, did you learn something from that? He says, yeah. He says, never get caught. No, don't take something that doesn't belong to you or that somebody hasn't got the right to give you. Because that can happen. That can happen. It's just like this man who has a job, and he came home from the job, and he had a whole bag full of jewels. And he gave his wife the jewels. He says, dear, pick out of here what you'd like. Wow, how wonderful. I just got him on the job. Well, that's wonderful. Gee, thank you. And then somebody else asked the question, what job do you have? Well, I'm a robber. He had no right to give it. You know what a robber is? A thief? He stole it. And so he was giving stolen goods, and he had no right to do that. And we teach values to our children. We teach them, but first we have to learn them ourselves. And it's not always too easy to learn them ourselves, because we didn't necessarily have parents who taught it to us. The Rockefellers gave a penny to their children back in those early days when a penny was quite a bit. And they gave it to their children every week to see how they were going to invest it. And the children invested it. And many of the children are multimillionaires on their own because of the pennies they invested from their father as they were growing up. And you and I, we knew while we were growing up, if we were to take like $2 or $3 every week and put it in stocks and bonds, that today we would be very wealthy. In fact, one of Mark, my son's girlfriends, her parents took her birthday money every year and put it in stocks and bonds. And today the girl is independently wealthy to do whatever she wants to do. And she has properties and stocks and bonds and everything just from the $5 or $10 that her parents would give her every birthday over the years. That's 21 times, you know. It's amazing. But of course, she gave any extra money she could give to it too because she wanted to. But it was nothing more than that. You see, we don't realize the great value that can come from learning to respect money and learning to put it away and learning to take care of it and do good things with it. But it sure does. Sometimes we're so concerned about giving our children what we never had growing up, we neglect to give them what we did have growing up. It's a very wonderful and a positive type of thing that we're doing. And it's from a time that's in the past. It's from a time when the Brady Bunch was doing their thing, and their parents expected them to be good. Oh, they did silly things, but they were not evil, and they were not improper. Well, improper, what's improper? They were not something bad and terrible, and not something done terribly. And as I was talking to our friend here, Douglas, he said, well, now, what about the Munsters show, and what about the Addams Family show? And they, oh, yeah, they were of that time, too. And if you remember, in the Munsters and the Addams Family, they had quality. They had values. In the Addams Family, what did Mrs. Addams do? She went out into the garden and cut the flowers off and brought the stems in the house. Isn't it wonderful how these things can function in that way? It's really quite fantastic. Well, you have a lovely day and know that I love you very much. And I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Can I help you?
Yes. Good evening.